In Syria, at least four civilians have been killed and 15 others wounded after militants fired rockets into government-held districts of the city of Aleppo. The so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said a woman and a child were among the dead. They are the first casualties since the ceasefire took hold there last week. Earlier, Syrian warplanes bombed the positions of foreign-backed militants near Aleppo. Dozens of airstrikes hit near the town of Khan Tuman, which was captured on Thursday by militants mainly from al-Nusra terrorist group. Government forces control western districts of Aleppo, and the militants are entrenched in the east. Fighting in Aleppo flared up late last month, and more than 300 people have been killed in the ensuing violence. To get some perspective, we're joined by Paul Antonopoulos, political commentator. Paul, it's good to have you with us on the program. Now, essentially, there seems to be a major disconnect when it comes to the reality on the ground in Syria and the reality around the negotiating table. What's your opinion?
Well, the whole truth hangs in the wire. The weakness of the ceasefire is that it does not include ISIS or al-Nusra, who are the strongest terrorist forces fighting against the government. Basically, with all the supposed moderate rebels allied with al-Nusra, the USA are struggling to separate their alliances. ISIS and al-Nusra are not adhering to the ceasefire. Therefore, the US-Russian brokered ceasefire cannot hold as the supposed moderate rebels stay loyal to al-Nusra. We have to remember that Russian President Putin has successfully negotiated ceasefires before, most recently in Qamishli between the YPG and the Syrian army, and in Nagorno-Karabakh between Armenian paramilitaries and Azerbaijan. And despite these successes, Washington are refusing to recognize the other fighting forces of Akhira Sham and Jaish al-Islam as terrorist organizations, despite sharing the same Saudi Wahhabi ideology of ISIS and al-Nusra. We know this because Washington wants Assad gone at all costs, even if their mythological moderate rebels are allied to al-Qaeda-linked groups.
And given the perspective that you drew for us, what's your prediction regarding the future of the peace talks in Syria at a time when the terrorists on the ground, namely those two groups that you mentioned, Jaish al-Islam and Ahrar al-Sham, they are part of the negotiating team that is talking with the Syrian government around the tables. How do you see the future coming?
The Syrian Arab Army, Russia, Iran, and their allies in Hezbollah and the various paramilitaries are preparing for a huge military operation throughout Aleppo province. The continued violation of the ceasefire by the terrorist forces allow the world to say Russia has pursued for peace, but it's the Saudi and Western-backed Islamists like Akhira Sham who are not working towards it. Damascus and Moscow would know these jihadist groups won't accept a true ceasefire, will continue to violate the ceasefire. Therefore, the only way the Syrian army and its allies can respond to the violations of the ceasefire is through military means, as a peaceful resolution has not been successful despite the cooperation of the USA and Russia in trying to achieve one.
And Paul, recently the UN envoy to the Syrian talks, Mr. de Mistura, he was urging, that is, Russia and the U.S., Moscow and Washington, to have some sort of a convergent view and position and attitude when it comes to the new round and next round of peace talks. Do you think that's anything achievable?
It makes it difficult when the USA are refusing to recognize Jaish al-Islam and Akhira Sham's terrorist groups. As I said earlier, they share the same Wahhabi ideology as ISIS and al-Nusra, so why the USA does not recognize them as terrorist groups cannot be understood. And most importantly, the YPG are not included in these talks either. And as we know, they're a major fighting force on the ground.
Okay, Paul Antonopoulos, thank you for your thoughts there.